kind of like the Russell Wilson of mosh pits.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. I hope all's well wherever you are. Here in Studio 66, we're ready to talk about football. Let's do that right now with two people who are here in Studio 66 with me. First of all, seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England. His heart was, I wouldn't say broken by what happened by the Three Lions against Croatia on Tuesday in the semifinals of the World Cup. I, though, learned just after the game when I noticed that the goalie for Croatia's last name is Subasek and my surname on my mother's side is Zubasic, and we did the math, and my cousins and I have decided whether or not there does seem to be some credible factual evidence that we might be related to this guy.
The Subasic?
Really?
Zubasic. But we've decided that rather than in doing a proper investigation, we're going to just assume that
Announce
we're related and bask in the reflected glory. So congratulations to me, but sorry to Handsome Hank, our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Here he is. And next, seated to Handsome's immediate left, he is the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers, now joined by another pal of ours, Move the Sticks, Daniel Jeremiah, the new color analyst for the L.A. Chargers. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about all that goes on AM 570 on the PMS show, Petros Papadakis, and his pal and ours, Matt Money Smith. Enough.
May I interject at this point?
You may.
I don't know what it is about Croatia, but I have come to discover, and I am more Croatian than anything else. I am
is
about,
that true?
Yeah, I'm like
really?
40% Croatian. My mother is like 75% Croatian. Sablic is their name. So that whole side of the family is freaking out throughout this whole run. But I bring it up because I see it happen to you, Sheck, when the Pittsburgh teams lose around here because you announce your fandom. You're open about that. And I wonder, Hank, how many people that have a situation like Sheck have or I have and have this little bit of Croatian in them have come up to you and give you the business? A man who was 100% English, who was born and raised in England, whose heart has just been ripped out of his chest in the World Cup.
Oh, stop it. Ripped out of his chest.
He cares
more. And is beating in a bag, Temple of Doom style.
He cares more about what the pro football team from South Beach does.
But how many people have come up to you and been like, ha, you suck, ha?
People have certainly said that to me. And I am lucky in that I don't necessarily, to Dave's point, you know, it's I didn't live and die on it. It does, but the whole kind of people claiming a country is an interesting. Whenever people say to me, you know, what do you miss about having moved and lived here for 7 or 8 years? What do you miss about the UK? It always occurs to me when I get asked that question that America doesn't really have that moment where everyone is going for, you know, the popularity of soccer is, it's obviously growing and there's a lot of soccer fans here, but there hasn't been that moment where everyone in the country is united behind one specific team and everyone's cheering for the same thing. There's obviously those, you know, I guess when the Patriots in the Super Bowl, everyone but Patriots fans are hoping they lose.
But
there isn't, you know, and I guess women's soccer has had that moment, but I don't know if it necessarily the whole country is doing it. You know, when you see those pictures in the parks and the pubs and whatever in England or in any of the other countries.
Croatia, the flares.
Oh, Croatia, exactly.
They like fire over there.
That's a real unifying right. moment for the whole country, and probably America needs that more than anyone else right now. But it's interesting. Obviously, I love your sports, and that's what brought me here. But it feels like that's something that American sport and culture misses a little bit. And maybe one day when soccer has that moment where your team gets great, then it'll happen. But it's such a unifying, awesome kind of moment where, you know, yesterday was essentially an ad hoc holiday in England where everyone who is English wanted the same thing to happen. And there's all kinds of other bad stuff happening in the UK right now around Brexit that divides the country just as much as it is here. But for that 90 minutes and you know, the weeks before that, it's, you know, truly kind of cool, unifying, fun.
Isn't that
thing.
Something that, it's going on in the UK the week that Brexit and all that and the politicians, some are leaving and what's going to be there, and a giant balloon of the American president is flying
wearing
high in the UK, and the World Cup is happening in Russia. It's weird that those things kind of connect but are not connected at all. But you do remind me the way the entire nation seemed to rally around those three lions for a couple of weeks there. That the only thing that I can compare that to in the U.S. was in 1980. Are you old enough to remember that, Money?
I was young. I was seven. But I remember it. Like, I remember – because, you know, it was – I don't even remember what time it was played. I just kind of remember the conversation around it in my house. I don't remember stopping what we were doing. And, I mean, you're a little bit older than I am, so perhaps you can
– I remember it pretty well, and it was at a time when Jimmy Carter was the president and people were down on Jimmy Carter, you know –
the hostages in Iran.
There was the hostages in Iran, and I remember gas lines. Really, you'd be at the pump because, you know, it wasn't necessarily the height of the Cold War, but there was ill will, and it appeared at that moment, apparently. I mean, obviously, I was a little kid myself, but as I recall or have since seen in documentaries and read about, I guess there was a vibe that the USSR was kind of ahead in the two-horse race, in the two world.
At that point, it was a low point for us.
Yeah, yes. It was grim, and for us, for the U.S. to knock off the USSR in a game that was supposed to be a walkover or a skateover for the Soviets. Yeah, that was a big rallying part. But to your point, Handsome, that's what we need. We need something.
That's exactly it.
Even if it's semi-vapid like that, I mean, well, who cares about a hockey game? But it did, for better or worse, it did serve as a point of patriotism.
And that's why, you know, I love all your sports, but you don't necessarily have any competitors in them. So there you don't have, the World Cup is definitely the culmination of it. But when England plays a rugby game, or when England plays other soccer games against other teams, or cricket, you know, there's enough of a rallying moment where suddenly you've got a lot of people focused on one thing.
I think two things. One, to your point, I think one of the all-time great World Cup stories was, I think it was two World Cups ago, Drogba, Ivory Coast, civil war happening, two sides agree to a ceasefire for the 3 weeks of the World Cup, and those people that would later pick up arms and fight one another would be sitting next to each other in bars watching their team make a run at the World Cup. I mean, that's the power of that particular event. And two, for the second year in a row, in about, what is it, the 12th, 2 weeks, not that it matters, I'm going back to Lake Placid. My daughter has a big lacrosse tournament there every year. I cannot recommend for sporting fans going there as a bucket list to go into that arena where they played that hockey game. It is not like what you would imagine at all. They do a tour. They explain when the game was played, how it was broadcast. You look where Al Michaels was sitting, it might as well have been two guys on a bucket talking into tin cans. I mean, the press box looks like something you would see at a rat hockey arena. I mean, it really is something. And it's a beautiful arena. It almost reminds me of like the Butler Fieldhouse, Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, the exposed beams and the ceiling. I don't know if you've ever been there, either of you, but it is a really, really cool.
How many does it seat?
It's tiny. I mean, I don't even know what number I would put on. A couple thousand?
Maybe
6,000. Five, 6,000. The ski jump is still up, and you can take a trip to the top of the ski jump and look around over Lake Placid and all the lakes there. I mean, it really is a great, great spot for something that I think most people would never think of using as a checklist point.
I remember it very well. And by the way, the larger point that Handsome got to, you know, the whole rallying thing, those shots of the nations gathering around TVs in mass
it's fantastic.
Jumping up and down, and also soccer, like hockey, lends itself more than other sports do for that instantaneous moment of going from flat sitting to euphoria collectively is the coolest visual there is. Did you happen to see, I tweeted it out, I encourage you go follow me at Damashek just to see this or look this up.
And then unfollow, or you can carry on. Or you can carry on.
It's fine with me. By the way, have you noticed on Twitter that all of a sudden they are finally getting rid of all the bots?
It's great.
I love it too, because I've talked with Money about this too.
You know? My account will be purged. What do I have now? Like 200,000? It'll be down to like 2,000.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be very happy.
Money and I have talked about this before. There are people that we're aware of, and we're not going to name names around here, but you know, there are certain people who will spend to juice it a little bit. And Money introduced me a year ago to this to the Twitter audit thing, so you can see how many are fake, and you can basically go through and manually delete them just out of dignity.
I did exactly
I've done that in my spare time trying to delete as many as I can get too, because it's a weird.
It is.
I don't know.
So what you're saying is all those sexy Russian ladies don't really want to get to know, who can't spell things.
They don't
want to
know you.
They don't want to get to
know
me.
They're trying to get to know Dave.
But the Brazilians, all the Brazilians,
that's real.
They're into me.
Okay.
All those 100,000 Brazilians I got following me. They are all about me.
There's also this a lot of people apparently. I didn't realize. I hope this isn't offensive to any group of people, but there are a lot of people that just look like kind of like a shadow, and they all look alike. Their photos, I see that repeated on the Twitter there too.
And, I have noticed that.
But they have clever names, that much is for sure. So I know that they're real human beings.
Right.
That can't just be
that's not
a bogus image with zero followers attached to it. But either way, this Croatia, did you see the Croatia fire department?
So good, right?
Yeah.
It's the
during
best.
The freaking shootout. Yeah.
It's the best, and it makes you love firemen, and what you know, it makes you think.
I love the one guy that lingers too.
The one guy is like, wait, they're all
really going?
Yeah.
They are sweating out their national team playing in the biggest game of I assume in Croatian soccer history, against mighty England, and they're the counting down the final moments of the game, and in the midst of that, the fire alarm goes off, and they don't skip a beat. They don't even look.
Jump up.
Nobody. I mean, I don't. I guess.
Except the one guy.
Nobody. But you don't even hear. Maybe it's lost in translation or something. Maybe they do. But you don't hear one guy drop a four-letter word like, not now. Right. Damn you, fire. They just are gone.
Spring suit on.
Put their
out.
Stuff on, and they are gone without. But the one guy who gets up like, wait, we're
really leaving?
Really?
And then
where are you guys going?
Then everybody clears out, and literally, it's in real time. We'll go watch it, but in real time, then they're gone. The fire trucks, beeper, beeper, that European annoying version of a fire truck sound. It departs, and literally a couple of seconds later, then the game ends, and two schnooks walk in, and they start hugging like it seems like an SNL bit or something.
Well, if you want my experience of the game, so I was watching it in my office. I had was doing stuff at the same time, but I had been booked in to present to 40 NFL legends what we do with NFL International at 1 o'clock yesterday. So the game kicks off at 11. Game kicks off at 11.
So you missed the
and then
extra time.
Gets to extra time, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go into this thing. I have to speak to Warwick Dunn's in there, and I can't remember all kinds of NFL legends. Have a nice time for about 40 minutes explaining what happens with NFL International. Walk back out, 2 minutes left in extra time. England have lost. Game over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, handsome, because it did appear I'm not.
Duty calls.
Obviously, I'm a novice, but it did seem to me like England should have been up 2-0. Should have been 2-0 at 45 minutes, but they weren't.
They weren't.
Oh, Prince Harry.
But anyway, in the end, it turns out that the it that they all said was coming home is actually me, because I'm going back to England tonight.
Tonight?
On a plane.
Very exciting. Yes.
Wonderful.
It is coming home. Just it, unfortunately, it's
a fortnight?
I am going for a fortnight, actually, yes.
Henry, we've got your ring ready to go. Sheets have been cleaned. Your favorite food stocked.
Thanks, Mum.
Did you have those Miami Dolphin sheets when you were a kid?
I did. I had some Miami Dolphin sheets, posters, the works. Yeah, my.
Who picked you up?
From the airport.
Yeah.
My wife and children, who've been there for a month now, and I hope have been missing me.
And do you stay with your mum?
I will be staying. This weekend, I'm staying with some friends. We're going for a nice little kind of, family fun weekend, and then I'm staying with my mum. So, you can.
Where are you staying? Like, is this like a Hamptons kind of thing out there?
No, I guess it might be. It's called the Isle of Wight.
Oh,
Isle of Wight. Famous shows with Jimi Hendrix and The Who and everybody else.
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
Yep.
Hey, what is the UK equivalent of that, or if there is one? See, when you come, people grill out. Oh, you're coming home. It's summer. You'll grill out. What is there a summer equivalent in the UK to American grilling out? Do you guys do that?
It's the same thing.
Why do you act like that's a thing? I've never seen.
Do people cook meat over fires?
No, I've seen people in pubs, and I've seen
instead
people.
Instead, we do it on a hot stone.
It seems like you would. Yeah, it seems like you would boil something in a
boil
cauldron.
Boil something in a cauldron. Yeah, yeah. We get around and
you,
there's
you
a
make
lady,
a fire. You put
lady,
a cauldron over it.
Yeah,
and you
there's
boil
a lady. She
it.
Always have like a wart on her nose, and she will stir it with a big spoon. And there's a cat there.
You
now
like
you're
your
talking.
Gravies. You
now
like all your brown stews.
No, we
and
will
such.
We will barbecue things.
What do you barbecue?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
What are you barbecuing?
I mean, the same thing. Sausages, chicken legs,
wieners.
Wieners. We don't eat wieners. See, I knew it.
That's not hot dogs. Point. You don't eat
not
hot dogs.
We'll eat a nice sausage.
Right, knockwurst. Wieners
are
Polish.
Not good. We'll eat exactly proper Polish or whatever, Italian hot sausage. Not a wieners is like processed. I don't even know what that is.
You know what?
I try not to eat wieners too often.
The greatest treat is the Red Hot, which is gaining prominence mm-hmm. here in the
love
US.
The Red Hot.
You can get a Red Hot now, you know, at every grocery store. Don't buy, pro tip, don't just go and get, I'm not going to call a brand out, but don't get the 8-pack of wieners that you typically get. Instead, go to the deli counter and tell your butcher pal, give me a few of them Red Hots if you
But prefer. So what is the reason? Why wouldn't you guys, I love that, but why wouldn't you guys put a real sausage in a hot dog? Rather, why do you need to put a wiener in there?
That's a good question. Why is that?
Because isn't a proper sausage nicer than a wiener?
Yeah,
I think it's childhood. You know, we grow up. Right. It really is a kid's staple.
Sure.
You know, think of it's mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and hot dogs. You know, I mean,
but when it comes to these days, if you go to a baseball game, why can't I get a sausage?
I think more and more you can now. I think Johnsonville, not to name check, but Johnsonville Brats has seemed, and Jody Marone, who does the hot links, have seemed to make their way into most stadiums at this point. So I think the palate is becoming a little more refined.
It is. It definitely, you're a shoddy big league park in any sport if you're only pushing wieners.
Speaking of which, did you see the news that broke this week about the wiener delivery? How about this Costco? Which, if you've ever been to a Costco, you know what it looks like at their food counter.
Sure.
I mean, it is a dollar for a pizza the size of your head. It's $1.50 for a hot dog that's as big as your arm. They removed two menu items and replaced it with two new ones. They removed the Polish sausage, and there was one other thing they removed, and they replaced it with a veggie dog or a veggie burger. And then acai bowl at Costco.
At Costco.
Where you're going there
to get
hot dogs, and pizza, and Polish. That's why you're going to Costco, because it's cheap. I think they do the retirement home buses there to let them out because it's so cheap.
Yeah.
And they just would sit there and eat all up that Costco food. And now they think people are going to go there to buy an acai bowl or a veggie burger.
And a 96-inch television.
Right.
We've
gone too far.
We've gone too far also as a society with this poke bar jazz. There are certain foods that if there's too much of them, it's nauseating.
Right.
And too much diced tuna, too much diced raw tuna fits into that category for me.
I would love to push back because I love pokey.
I love pokey,
but
there's
absolutely
too many places now.
You're right. Well, no, I think just that pokey bowl.
Yeah.
Because you can't say no. They're like, you want the extra scoop of tuna for a dollar? And you're like, I want the extra scoop of tuna.
You want avocado on that? Yes,
yes,
I'll pay $2 exactly. for it as well for three slices of avocado. What am I doing?
Yeah, but then you get halfway through it and you're like, this is really starting to hit me here.
They had some, I don't know what the get-together was over, whatever the meeting was that they served lunch at here at NFL Media a couple of days ago, and they had a big leftover tin of chicken, grilled chicken. And there was something about it, I saw.
Yeah, you don't want to see that much.
It was
food.
Too much. It was just a heap of that pale chicken, and I really got nauseated. And I realize on some level that reflects on me being more and more as I go deeper into life, I am becoming a less successful Howard Hughes. I really am I'm getting the OCD is
that bad.
The bare feet thing is making me crazy. We went to Disneyland last week. We went with the kids. It was a gay time for all, except for the fact that when we went to the pool, all the people around with the wet floor and the wet towels there and the tiles and following in people.
Well, that's not good, Shaq.
I don't like
it. That's not good. We got to get you over that.
Yeah.
We got to get you.
It's getting worse.
We got to sit you down with a couple doctors that will tell you that just there's nothing to it. There is absolutely
nothing. It's not
nothing
that I think
it.
I'm going to get a
I know,
disease.
I know,
it
but I think.
It just gutturally sickens.
Exactly. It's that was it. We'd had that. I hope this isn't too graphic, but we had this huge fight.
When
we worked at K-Rock, because, you know, it's just we didn't have one of those bathrooms that has three urinals and two stalls kind of thing. It was just a single use bathroom. And someone was just whizzing all over the seat, all the time, right? And we were like, it got to a point where we were trying to narrow down, and I think we were going to fight the person that was doing it. It got to that point. We were all so upset. And Dr. Drew, who you know very well and is just very matter-of-fact and the nicest guy, he said, urine is sterile. You could sit in it, you can play in it, and it wouldn't be a big deal. And for whatever reason, the way he described it, I was like, well, that settles it then. I guess continue to whiz all over the seat. We're good. We're good moving forward.
That has been our mutual pal Adam Carolla's get out of disgusting behavior free card for a quarter century now or thereabouts. He will tell you if Dr. Drew says it, then right. It's okay to do it. Like that excuses Carolla making his water in sinks
sure.
that other people use. Ah, it's sterile. Dr. Drew said so. His big move. Was allegedly to keep us all grounded at when we were all writing on the Man Show. The way the building was structured, the third floor was all writers. There were several offices filled with writers, and only one bathroom up there. One thing, and some people would occupy it in the morning. So Carolla's move became out of need because he couldn't get into the bathroom. He started to use the coffee pot. Every morning, and the way the morning sun would hit a certain window where Cousin Sal, who everybody knows now from Kimmel, Sal and I were in an office together, and Carolla would start each morning by coming up to greet us, and then he'd make water into the coffee pot and set it on the windowsill where the morning light would go through
it. Beautiful.
That is
gorgeous. It was right. A gorgeous golden hue, except that it was his issue, you know, and we're and we had to deal with that.
That
and
is terrible.
What are you doing? And keeps you grounded. Make sure you don't get big heads.
I mean, he's
heads.
Not wrong.
I think we're good. I think we're good not getting big heads without a coffee pot full of your mess.
Just disgusting. Yeah. Anyway, I think that...
should we move on, Emma?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Are you enjoying this so far?
No.
That last one, huh? Last part.
What would be the matchup? I'm going to jam this in to make it pro football. Would there be a pro football event
that
America could rally about? I'm going to throw out this one, and this goes back to my roots. But people talk about Lakers and Celtics in the 80s. And for whatever reason, people loved watching Steph Curry and KD and company play repeatedly against the Cavs. But it wasn't as captivating for the nation. It didn't force you, I don't feel like. Because I guess the nation is so full of cynics, vapid cynics, that everybody didn't like KD, or all those cynics don't like KD, and they also don't like LeBron. They don't like either guy, so there was nobody to root for. But like the Lakers and Celtics in the 80s, Steelers and Cowboys in the 70s captivated the entire nation to the degree that 40 years later, people still come up to me and say, oh, you're from Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'm a big Steelers fan. Oh, really? Where are you from? I'm from Kansas. What?
Yeah.
Why? Because you had to.
70s, yeah.
But you had to choose. Everybody chose one side or the other.
And you're right, but it's not a single rooting interest.
I know.
That's
but,
the moment.
But I think it would be so captivating for the nation for 2 weeks if that's what was upcoming. It would be the only thing anybody would talk about.
The one, I guess, I wasn't quite in the U.S. then, but the one that I got the sense maybe had that moment most recently was when the Saints, you know, coming off everything that happened in New Orleans, they had that great season, and then it ended in the NFC Championship game in Chicago, and then they wound up playing in a Super Bowl, what was that, a year later or 2 years?
A year later, the Colts.
And it felt like them, yeah, exactly, that if you weren't a Colts fan, pretty much everyone was rooting right. for the Saints in that moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was spot on.
Well, I think about just that. Monday night game against the Falcons.
Right.
Where all of America were Saints fans.
Yeah.
You know, when the Superdome reopened and it's on national TV and here's this great. And I mean, it was just a ridiculous game. And it felt like, you know what? I don't have a rooting interest for either of these teams, but I'm going to sit down and I'm going to cheer on this Saints team led by
exactly.
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I also feel like recency bias. I feel like whether you like the political statements and social statements of the Eagles, or you resented them. Either way, they transcended mere football for a season against the dynasty of the 21st century. That had a compelling feel to it, except it was undermined by the fact that I don't think anybody thought the Eagles had a chance in those 2 weeks. There was nobody really. Was there anybody? Am I misremembering that? Did anybody think the Eagles had a chance in that game? except the Eagles themselves, because I heard in the 48 hours right before the Super Bowl from people definitely tied into the Eagles and their thought process, their brain trust, that it was
they were very confident.
They said, we're going to smoke this team, unless something, you know, who knows.
Tom Brady passes for 550
what
yards.
What weirdness might go down injury-wise or otherwise, but we should smoke this team. We are way better than they are, save at the most important position on the field.
And we're playing our backup.
Money didn't enjoy that Super Bowl. I remember it.
It was a sarcastic tweet.
Late in the third.
It was sarcasm. Hey, can we mix a pun in here? Yeah, it was total sarcasm. It really was.
All right.
No, I enjoyed the heck out of that. And I'm now at that period or that that I guess part of my life where I am watching the Super Bowl through my kids' eyes. You know, we're going to parties where their other families, their kids are watching. They're rooting for whatever team for no reason. That's what's so funny about it, is they will just pick a side and there's no rhyme or reason to it whatsoever. And for whatever reason, in years past, all the ladies, all the young girls were all about Tom Brady and the Patriots. And this year it flipped. Everybody was rooting on those Eagles, which they had no understanding of a single player that was on their team or what
the heck they did. It's funny. That's how I am about the Star Wars movies. These grown-ups who are getting bent out of shape and devoting hours out of their finite number of minutes here on the Big Blue Marble to complain about The Last Jedi and how it needs to be remade, just watch it with a 10-year-old. They don't care. They're delighted by it. You don't need to hold on so tight.
Exactly. Enjoy
Lighten
something,
up
huh?
Lighten up, nerd. And I like the Star Wars, and I am a nerd. And I'm telling you, fellow nerds, there's some things to – don't die on this.
Relax.
I will say, though – Just quickly, and I know we got to move on here, but
to what?
The Marvel,
what do we have to move on to?
The Marvel stuff, like, I don't think it, for whatever reason, it just does not move me like the Star Wars stuff does. The kids want me to take them to all the Iron Man, Civil War. We went and saw the Thanos thing, and it just, I don't know what it is. It's like I sit there, I'm like, I can take it or I leave it, but I get into the Star Wars. And, man, it just – there's something – I don't know. I don't know what it is about that particular franchise versus the Marvel franchise that seems
to
resonate with me.
I'd like to get to the bottom of this. I don't know why – yeah, I'm with you. I like those movies fine, and certainly my adolescent kids love them. We went and saw Ant-Man, the sequel, Paul Rudd. Is Paul Rudd – I was thinking about that, by the way. Emma VP, weigh in on this because this has to do with showbiz, your true passion. Is he the most likable guy? I know women all find him super attractive, and I don't know that guys at large know.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Did
they
you know
do,
that?
Huh? No.
They swoon.
Really?
All women
for
love Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd. They,
he's
think
handsome,
he,
yeah.
they think he is as
really?
Handsome as anybody.
Well, he's also a lovely guy.
I don't know about
he
as
seems
anybody,
like a nice...
but he's definitely handsome. Yeah, he seems to be the most likable.
Huh. Is there anybody more likable that you've ever seen without knowing? I've met him a couple of times.
I'll tell you who I know.
And I've met him a couple of times, and he is truly delightful and enjoyable. All his chums, like that KC gang, is a nice group of fellas in general. You know, all those the prominent fellas that
right.
you see out
They're
there.
All from KC. There's a lot of them, aren't there?
There are.
They're
yes.
all doing nicely. As
it's
well
also
for themselves.
Weird. I saw him do a thing that made some news that he could reel off the entire 1979 Steelers roster, and people.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, and for some reason, because
now he just got a lot more handsome to you.
To my point, well, to my point earlier, that really what that speaks to is what I mentioned earlier. You either were a Cowboys or Steelers fan. You were consumed if you were a sports fan of a certain age there. But what I have seen him do, I've sat where there are, you know, 15 people around, and he sequestered himself, locked in on a Kansas City Chiefs game, and could not be distracted from it for a 2-hour stretch. It was
Rudd.
Yeah, I like that. I like
that's good. That's good to be able to do that.
I think Matt Damon is revered that way, isn't he?
He's
not as likable. He's not as imminently likable on camera, is he?
No.
Okay. I have a Chris Pratt thing.
Thanks,
I like
Emma.
That guy.
You got
that's
him,
just quite the dismissal.
Chris Pratt.
No.
Chris Pratt's a good
seems
one.
Like a
Chris
he's
Pratt
just
is
seems
a good
like
one.
A delightful
Matt
guy.
Damon's
he's a good looking guy. He makes my
that's true. Little
he makes my heartbeat a little faster.
Yeah, Chris Pratt. We actually had Chris Pratt come in studio for the Moneyball. Remember, he played the submariner in Moneyball, in the movie.
Wow,
and
no
he,
way.
Yeah, he came in and he hung out for like an hour. And Tim Cates, our producer, booked him. He's like, yeah, I got the guy that's playing the pitcher. I'm like, why would you book that? What the hell? Get Brad Pitt. I mean, yeah, get Michael Lewis or something. What, getting the pitcher. And he comes in, he's a good looking guy. And he's like, and he hangs out just chopping it up about sports and talking about trying to mimic this guy's, you know, pitching motion and what he did for 20 minutes a day for like 6 months of the year. He was trying to get this guy's pitching motion down. And turns out he's, I don't know, what, top five, maybe actor in Hollywood right now?
By the way, yes. Well, he's had a midlife transition into being a sex symbol. I want that. You know, I'd like
You're
to
not
know.
Far off, Dave.
The second half of my life, I'd like, I want the light to shine on me a little bit, Emma VP.
Aren't you in the second half of your life?
The third half of his life.
That's what I'm saying. I'm into it. Let's
Glad
get it going.
He directed it his way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get on that.
I want to be
Let's
regarded.
Change public perception.
Yeah.
Scott Hatterberg. That's who he was playing. Scott Hatterberg. Yes.
Oh, the first baseman.
That's
right.
It was
right.
Just getting walks, and yeah, that's what it was. And that's what it was. His batting stance that he had to figure out how to mimic. But yeah, just hung out in the studio with us for like an hour.
Hey, another thing about movies, too, that I was thinking about. Isn't it weird, and I'm not trying to be cynical and good for him because I've never heard anybody who knows him say that The Rock is a bad guy or anything. People say, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy, grounded and decent and thoughtful and all that. Good for him. Isn't it weird, though? Has he been in a good movie?
I saw you tweet this yesterday, and someone responded with Jumanji, which might be the worst movie I've ever watched.
My kids love that one. I've not watched
it. I mean, it's a fun kids movie, but it's not good. It's especially
and
in
by
comparison
the way, that,
with the first one.
And by the way, that comes after him already achieving the status of biggest star on the planet. Isn't that weird? That's a weird trick.
Yeah.
Yep. Weird trick, exactly.
Going through it now, has he ever been in a good movie?
I mean, he's a voice in Moana,
which is really good.
But I don't know how much I'm going to count that one. I don't know. What's The Rock been in?
I think that's a fair question.
How do you achieve that level
is a fair
of
question.
Star
He's also
power
got
if you've never
nine
done anything?
More
well, his other movies
in production.
Are blockbusters.
No, this can't happen.
Despite not being good, right? So
this just ruined my day. That's it. It's over.
What is?
What the hell? They're going to remake Big Trouble in Little China, and The Rock is going to be Jake Burton.
I know.
You can't do that.
Make
you can't do that.
Sick.
You can't. That just that's
really
it.
Really takes away.
You cannot do that.
The spirit of the original movie to put The Rock in it.
Yeah.
Yes, you cannot do that. I mean, people bellyache about those things, and not to sound pretentious, but I'll tell you, one of my favorite is Chekhov's Lolita, and they have yet to be able. And also, it must be something about the best novels. Is also nobody's ever made a great Gatsby picture either. But really, those how does a movie get made when they can completely miss the point of a novel? True Handsome?
Yes. Absolutely.
Lolita, have you seen all those?
I have seen a couple.
The best one is the Kubrick one,
right.
But that one's almost too silly.
That's, yeah.
But the other one, you understand that Humbert is charming and funny? Like, the Adrian Lines is, anyway, we're off on a going down the rabbit hole.
I might not
stuff.
Recover.
Well, I want to talk about
I might
about
not
this.
Recover.
From what, the Rock business?
Yeah,
oh, about the
big,
I'm
yeah,
sorry,
Jake,
why we
Jake
got
Burton,
into
it's
that.
One of the all-time great cinema characters.
Let's talk about this then. Here's the big question for you. We talked about this, I don't know, 2 years or so ago, and people found it xenophobic on my part, so let's do it again now. The only reason that we don't have as the U.S. of A big rallying of game on the soccer pitch in Russia or anywhere else where the World Cup goes on is because our best don't play soccer. True?
Sure. Yes.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Odell Beckham doesn't play soccer. Antonio Brown
would be that he'd be
LeBron James doesn't and Russell Westbrook. Are we to assume that they wouldn't be able to be the best soccer players in the world?
I'm not sure LeBron. I mean, that you don't find
too many 6'8", 260.
I mean,
how big is Lukaku?
Players?
And he looks like a giant out there. And yeah, Lukaku's like 6'3".
6'2", 6'3", exactly.
But that's the point. No other nation would have LeBron.
No, I know.
James.
But even when they have done and had guys. Who
I mean, look at
six.
Messi. You know, Messi's tiny.
I'm not. There may be one or two of those guys that would work out, but I mean, you're not wrong about the Odell Beckhams, the Antonio Browns. It's probably football
players.
The
Russell Westbrook,
Tyreek Hill. Hill wouldn't dominate a soccer game.
Of course they would.
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Good. So we settled it.
That was quick.
All right, I thought I might get some pushback on that. People didn't like it when I brought that up a couple of years ago.
I do want to push back on one thing.
You think LeBron wouldn't be a dominant goaltender? He'd be the best. Yeah. Or Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson between the pipes. Who would ever get one by him? Why? And by the way, what is it? I know people have promoted the idea of putting a morbidly obese guy in the goal in hockey.
Idea. Oh, in hockey.
In hockey, yeah. Right. Just fill that goal.
Fill
how much room would be left there if you really padded him up on top of his natural or unnatural girth? What would happen if you put Calvin Johnson? Why doesn't anybody have a 7-foot goalie? Why didn't
It's a lot of ground to cover. I mean, certainly the limbs help, but it's a pretty wide goal.
I know. Where's Akeem Olajuwon from?
Why didn't they try Nigeria, him in goal? Right? No, he's not Nigerian. Akeem is
not Ghana.
No, he's not Ghanaian. Where is he from?
I can't think. But anyway, you get my larger point there.
He's Nigerian.
Yes.
He is Nigerian?
He is Nigerian.
Okay.
Best to our old pal Black Tie, by the way, and everything going on with him at home. But back to speaking of another pal who sat behind the glass here in the past, Kent Brown. We always like when Kent Brown.
Oh, we got one?
Pittsburgh's own.
Has his mother watched the World Cup?
I have no idea what she's been watching, but Kent Brown's mom continues to leave good voicemails, and we haven't heard one in a little while. Here's one from Kent Brown's mom.
Kent, I know you're still sleeping. Hey, somebody on our street's a millionaire. You know that Rich Johnson, two doors down from me, it's like he works for the road department. His wife, Ruth, she won the Publishers Clearinghouse. $1,000 a week for life plus $1 million. Yeah, your dad called and said, hey, Susie, did you hear anything? And I said, no. So Mrs. Rosen's still next door. She was out putting the mail out just this morning, and she said she was driving up the road in Publishers Clearinghouse for standing in Mr. Vincent's front yard taking pictures of Ruth on her porch holding up that great big check. Honest to goodness, lucky for them. Oh, I'm telling you. I'll talk to you after a while. Bye-bye.
I mean,
the end is always my favorite.
Yeah. All right.
Big news. All right. Goodbye. All right, click. Wow.
That's the best one.
What news?
That's exciting news for their street.
Can you imagine?
We have a millionaire on our street. Like, I love the way she delivers like that.
Hey,
I got news that you are not going to
believe.
There's a millionaire in the neighborhood. Can you believe it?
Can you believe it?
I didn't know the Publishers Clearinghouse was still around, one. And two, who the hell subscribes to magazines through the Publishers Clearinghouse anymore to win the $1 million?
What a thing. Good for Kent Brown's mom's neighbor.
Turns out she was the only entry. They only had one entry.
Did you hear Susie?
Ruth.
No.
Good for Ruth.
Your father called. I couldn't confirm. I went next door and
she said. Mr. Vincent's yard doing the pictures with the big check and all that.
Wow. No.
What a great thing. And by the way, if you think I'm denigrating or whatever Kent Brown and Kent Brown's mom, no, indeed. That is representative of my family and most people from Pittsburgh. That's how we sound. That's not necessarily the most charming accent, but you can see it's still spoken by lovely people.
Amazing.
Exactly.
They really are.
Those are really good. Yeah. We are MOVP. We really do need to create a place where a home where all of those can be listened to. I don't know how we do it. Maybe we just should make a thing where we just put out the greatest hits of Kent Brown's mom.
No, or just create a Kent Brown's mom's voicemails Twitter account and just publish them
all
on there.
We can make a SoundCloud.
Yeah. Now we're cooking with gas. Hey, let's go back to the news that I mentioned earlier and is out and about now. Great news for football fans who live in Southern California, and great news for Matt Money Smith. And great news for Daniel Jeremiah, because they get to work together. They're going to be calling the Chargers games in 2018.
Are you sure? Because I read all the press releases, and like, there's, you know, they mention Daniel Jeremiah, our colleague here, and they mention LaDainian Tomlinson and all this exciting stuff.
I'm old news, man.
He doesn't get a mention in the whole thing.
News.
Like, I want to know he's
is that
with.
True?
That is totally true.
No, I think I am in the second not paragraph. I think it says Daniel Jeremiah will be joining. Matt
not in any of the ones I read.
I believe.
I was appalled.
Yeah.
I said, wait, you're missing the best part of the act. Daniel Jeremiah's a nice-looking guy. Great, stick his picture on there, but Let's make sure we got the pipes of money. And
by the way, what did I love this move for both two very nice fellas, and I'm glad for them that road trips. If you think on the human level, of course, I can't stand when people bellyache about the Twin Cities. It's cold out, and I have to go talk about it outside for 3 minutes. No one cares. No one cares that you're cold because you're covering a Super Bowl. What I do get though that grind week in week out, you're out on the road. It's still to talk about football, and so it's we're still cheating life. But nevertheless, on a Saturday night sitting in Kansas City or wherever you are, how nice for money that he's going to get to go to eat barbecue with the great Daniel Jeremiah, yep, and vice versa. I'm thrilled for both of you.
DJ has already got he's got visions of our adventures on the weekends because he knows I like to get out, and he apparently, I did not know that he is someone who wants to get out and really explore a town. So our first trip is into Buffalo.
But the difference is the one obstacle you're going to have to overcome is you like booze.
I'll be drunk the whole time.
He does not like booze. Are you going to be overcome the moral conundrum of sitting there while somebody watches you drink?
Never.
That's not
going
to be an issue.
No, I'll be able to put him back. But the great thing, too, is because he's still obviously working here as our lead scout draft analyst, he is already laying out our schedule for all the college football games we're going to.
Ooh,
we're stuck. How about this one that we're tangling with right now? We can, when we play the Browns, when we go to Cleveland to face the Browns.
Look at him weeing it.
I know. I meant with DJ. When we go to Cleveland, we have a choice because Columbus is about little over 2 hours away. Ohio State is hosting Minnesota. But if we want to kind of get that up to about 2:45, we can get to the Big House for Wisconsin-Michigan.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
So it's a tough one because the horseshoe's pretty special to go watch a game there. But Ohio State will lay waste to PJ Flex, row the boat.
You've been
Minnesota,
to both?
I've been to both, yeah. Mm. So it's just kind of an up in the air. Which one would you rather go to?
Ann Arbor is not as crazy as other Big Ten towns, but it's a lovely place, like most Big Ten little college towns are. It really is a charming town in autumn. If that's in October, I would vote for
it's
that.
October.
You don't want to be in Columbus. Columbus is fine. It's just a city. I vote
Ann Arbor
for you
Ann Arbor.
Guys. Go up to Ann Arbor. That's a gem.
I was already excited about money coming to London, and now DJ and money are going to be there together.
Oh, both
yeah.
Be there.
Excellent.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Excellent. I still want in on the Mexico City trip. That's the one I want to be
fine.
Part of.
We'll
hey, money, you before you go, I know you got a punt here.
Oh, wow.
Go
look at that time.
Job. Real quick, should we start with money MVP? We started a series off the cuff the other day with Sean O'Hare and Handsome Hank. Should we now try to involve money, or should we do it without him?
I think we'll have to do it without him. He's got to go.
All right. Who's the
take a little while.
Let's ask one thing with money then. Who is – we start the series is the best newcomer or the most impactful newcomer to every team in the league. We did the NFC East the other day. Now let's turn to you. Who better to talk to about the Chargers than Matt Money?
Well, you know, I mean, they just pretty much kept their whole team. I mean, they added Mike Pouncey, who was a huge upgrade over Spencer Pulley. I know Hank didn't like the way his career has gone these last couple of years, but considering they were playing with essentially a backup guard that had been converted to center, getting Mike Pouncey there is a big get for them. But I think it's going to be Derwin James. That team played, Gus Bradley played in a sub-package with six defensive backs probably 50 to 60% of the time last year, and it's probably the best collection of corners that we have on any team in the league if Jason Verrett is healthy and what they have there. I mean, a nickelback and Desmond King. Trevor Williams was great as a backup to Jason. Then you add Derwin James if you count the safeties now in that mix. To be able to put six defensive backs out there and have them be Verrett, King, Hayward, James, Adai. I mean, that is going to be a heck of a unit. So I think the way they're going to use Derwin, I won't be surprised to see him play a little bit of linebacker. I wouldn't be surprised to see him rushing off the edge. I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing out of there. That's how versatile he's been. So he'll definitely, I think, you know, because Mike Pouncey's okay, he can call out, you know, the checks and he can set an offense and maybe relieve Phillip from having to do some of that. And he'll be great on the inside of that line, especially with the return of Forrest Lamp, one of the guards to join Dan Feeney.
Yeah, how about that? You can kind of call those guys the O-line guys that went down. You can
right. Well, think about it. They basically have two first and two second round picks this year. I mean, they have, you know, their first round pick from last year, Mike Williams, barely played because of that neck, and he's totally healthy, and they say he is wrecking shop out there, you know. And when you see him, like, that's one of the cool things about being, you know, part of a team and not just the independent guy that flies in and calls the game. When you're around them without pads, I mean, Mike Williams looks like a tight end. He's that big. I mean, he's that wide. He's that big. You kind of understand why. Oh, yeah, that's why they drafted him at number 7 overall.
And we talk about it all the time. It's become old news on this show. Is it seems like the rest of the football world is sort of getting in on, like, oh, yeah, Keenan Allen, you may not like him as a physical specimen. He may not pop out the way Julio Jones or other guys do, but he is right up there with Antonio Brown, Nuke Hopkins, and Julio Jones among the best receivers in the game. All right, Money. Yeah, and by the way, I'm with you on James. I mean, this was a guy, if you watch college football over the last couple of years, this is a guy who, for me, as I kept saying, he's definitely in my top three can't miss guys from the 2018.
It's just weird that he slipped. But you know, quarterbacks, when you get what, 5 guys that end up going in the first round, 4 of them ahead of James, that's what happens, you know, and that's what they were hoping was going to end up happening, is teams that needed quarterbacks would get ahead of him, and a guy like Derwin would slip.
And practically speaking, too, you were the one who first pointed this out to me, because in August, in the run-up, Trey Boston was providing a needed voice, you know, the so-called quarterback of the defense and all that, and was effective in parts there.
Yep.
But the one thing he wasn't great at, you know, the raw foot speed and what you needed on the back end out of that position. Trey Boston's great. I can't believe he's available. I hope my team signs him. As a matter of fact, I'd love to have that hybrid kind of player there as that role emerges more and more in pro football.
5 picks last year and still has no job.
But James, I mean, my goodness, that's the one weakness if you assume that those youngsters come in and help that offensive line. Where's the weakness on the LA Chargers?
So stay healthy. That's it, man. That's it. Stay healthy.
For once, have the football god smile on Phil Rivers, and old man Rivers could go out with a bang. All right, you go out with a bang now, Matt Money Smith.
All right, guys.
But I want you to put on a show, though, when you do it. I want you to like be like, I'm not talking about any other AFC West teams. I won't do it. And then storm away. We'll edit this in post. Like, say, I know you have to go for time, but for the audience, it's going to seem like that you refuse to do it. So, like, take that again. Like, I'm not going to sit here and talk about those bum teams. Now do that. Ready? So now let's move on to the next
team. Yeah, let's talk about the Chiefs, Dave.
Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs.
What the hell's your problem? What are you thinking?
What do you mean?
Why would I talk about the Chiefs? So what? Oh, someone can clip. Hey, Money said that Sammy Watkins is not going to. It's a waste of $16 million. Look, the Charger guy's coming to town. It's week one. Pat Mahomes, good luck facing off against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram in your first game. Is that what you want out of me? You're not going to get it.
We're all about
why would you have all the divisions of all the divisions to pick that we could go through? I'd see what you're up to.
I thought we
could get Daniel Jeremiah to do it.
I don't
guess we could try to.
Oh, so that's what you're going to do. That's really, hey.
Maybe LT.
How about this? How about you stay in London, all right?
Oh, wow.
Don't need this.
This isn't the way I wanted to
come up here. I still got a radio show
to do. I
thought
we had a good time.
Yeah, Chargers training camp opening in a couple weeks. I'm nice enough. I got Emma dismissing me with a no. Hell of a day for me.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, guys.
This really got sideways fast.
Jeez,
oh, man.
Wow.
I almost feel bad continuing.
And a good day to you, sir.
I mean, I don't feel that bad continuing.
No, it's fine.
I feel bad, I guess. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really definitely over it now.
Who knew? I mean, I just knocked over
my
water.
He just threw Dave's water on the floor.
I don't know how to react to that because I'm not as mercurial. I'm not temperamental.
Well, he's so talented. He's mercurial. That's his excuse. You and I don't get mercurial.
I'm like a nice steady Eddie.
Because we're not talented.
Right. I guess that's what it's like to deal with
that type of high-end talent.
Be in the orbit of somebody, you know, that kind of star power.
Anyway, I've never seen that before.
No, I haven't.
No.
Neither have I.
I'd heard about it, actually, though. When you talk to people who work with Money, they do mention that could happen. I was always like, no way. He seems like such a nice guy. But
thank goodness you're going to edit that so that the audience doesn't have to experience it.
That would be bad.
Yeah, that'd be really bad.
Definitely not leave that in.
Definitely won't, no.
And I guess you shouldn't leave this part in either, because then that would...
Well, that'd be pulling the curtain. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
So we can't do... Okay. All right, well, let's just continue then. The Kansas City Chiefs, biggest addition there, Handsome Hank.
Wow, I don't know. I don't feel good about what just happened. Their biggest addition, maybe it is Sammy Watkins. I know Money was one during his rant that we're not going to have listened to,
oh,
so
right.
It will not be apparent to other
people.
He kind
of told on himself there a little bit.
Maybe he is. I don't know. The Chiefs, if you look on balance at what they lost versus what they gained, they lost Alex Smith. You know, obviously we think Pat Mahomes is going to be that guy for them. They lost Marcus Peters in that trade with the Rams. That feels like a big loss, even if they feel like it was maybe addition by subtraction in the locker room. They lost Albert Wilson to my Miami Dolphins, who is going to be a star this season. I'm calling that one. I really mean it. I'm calling that out now.
Do you really think so?
If you watch Chief game from last season, Albert Wilson's making plays all day long. He's going to step into that slot position that Jarvis Landry caught a million passes in every season, and he's going to catch a lot
Adam
this year.
Well, Adam Gase is no slouch himself.
He's creative.
I was going to say Andy Reid is super clever with knowing how to deploy a guy like Albert. And it's not like he was some star in KC.
No, right. But I think he's going to get more. You know, they had a lot of those type of guys in KC, and that's
just my
belief.
I'm rooting for you, handsome. But the Albert Wilson and Danny Amendola.
Well, they've
signings.
Also but
leave
they've
me got, uninspired.
Well, they've got Kenny Stills and they've got Devontae Parker.
I get it. I'm just saying additions don't.
Anyway, let's go with Sammy Watkins. I mean,
The one thing is about that for real. If Patrick Mahomes, obviously, he has among the biggest arms that pro football.
What we're told.
You're right. We keep hearing about that. That's his primary skill is throwing that deep ball. And you look at what they have around him all of a sudden. I've always associated the Chiefs, or at least over the last 20 years, as a mucker team. You know, like they play in Kansas City and the way the weather gets in November and December, it seems like the field's muddy and it's chilly and everything else.
Plus, they've had a rash of great running back. I mean, Priest Holmes and Jamal Charles. I mean, they seem to always have like
really
one of the best backs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but you know, now all of a sudden, this offense should be electric.
Yeah. But it was last year. I mean, we saw that last year.
And
it's not like Alex Smith was a slouch at throwing those deep balls. He used to hit Tyreek Hill down the sidelines. You know, it seemed like every game, or at least the first half of the season.
I have a hunch. We all fall into that year after year. We never learn from what happened in the preceding 12 months. But, you know, this notion that, well, it is a kid in there. You can't expect much from the Chiefs in 2018. How many times do we need to see a team soar with a young guy under center there? I think Patrick Mahomes, that one year for him sitting on the bench probably serves him well. All right, I'm with you on Sammy Watkins because that's another burner. And keep in mind, for all the cynics out there who say Sammy Watkins a bust or whatever, however you might characterize him, do remember this doesn't guarantee success for him. But I do think if he can just stay right and get into the right spot on the right team, do remember he went ahead of Odell Beckham, and that was an almost universal opinion that Sammy Watkins was the star in that draft. Again, that doesn't mean that he's destined necessarily for NFL greatness, but that is the collective opinion of the scouts leading up to that.
It does,
draft.
And he hasn't been bad. It does seem crazy that he's playing for his third team in that many years.
It is odd. Okay, next up, the Oakland Raiders.
Not the LA Chargers. We're just going to go. Well, I'll tell you.
Chargers.
No, but let me just add one player.
Okay.
And I'm serious about it. Caleb Sturgis. They would have made the playoffs last year if they hadn't had such terrible kickers all the way through the season. What was
correct.
The guy? Youngway Kuo, and I can't remember who else they had. Caleb Sturgis is a decent kicker. And that's what the Chargers have missed for.
Yeah.
I don't know,
steady
feels like
rather
a long time.
Than a, 60 yard guy. But yeah. A steady Eddie type, that which is what they need. Okay, I'm with you on that, but I will.
I love James.
Okay, next up, Oakland Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders, like the list. So Emma was very kind. She printed us out. I'm just going to pull back the curtain. Emma printed out a list of all these people that the Raiders have signed. It's a very long list compared to the other teams. Mm-hmm. There's literally not one name on here where I'm like, wow, look, they got that guy. And I would add John Gruden to that list as well if you were really looking at additions.
Ah, that's a fun
one. I guess that's the one, but I'm not even sure I'm particularly excited about that. But, like, their draft is, I don't know, and then their free agency signings.
As a reminder,
these guys are all
the
like,
big name guys, Doug Martin, you know, muscle hamster, nice rookie season. People got excited.
He's done nothing for 4 years.
Yeah, I'm not overwhelmed by that signing. Jordy Nelson's a little long in the tooth. He was playing with the best quarterback. We have not seen a whole lot of success from guys who leave Aaron Rodgers, go on to their next stop, and continue to thrive. That's not a coincidence. And like I say, Jordy with the knee, the age, everything else. The guy who I mean, obviously, who is intriguing for his potential dominance is Martavis Bryant coming over from the Steel.
Didn't I just read he's about to get suspended again?
Yeah, but that was 3 weeks ago. And there's
That was last week I read it.
It was more like...
Maybe Martavis Bryant gets his opportunity to do what he kept telling us he could do, but never actually did. Didn't often do.
They've tried to beef up that defense a little bit. Maybe, you know, the presence of a guy like Derek Johnson, for what that's worth.
I love Derek Johnson. I think he's one of those. And it feels like we talked about Chiefs players a lot as they, like, underrated guys who never really got the credit they deserved. And he's definitely one of them.
Yeah, I hear you on that. So maybe he can help steady that defense a little bit. I'll go with Martavis Bryant on a flyer.
Yeah, okay.
That he could really have a little bit of a breakout. And the biggest detail for the Oakland Raiders offense in 2018 is Amari Cooper's got to start paying off. He's had some stretches there, but he has been – I mean, if you watched Raiders games in 2017, you could just watch Derek Carr lose confidence in week after week after week, drop pass after drop pass. He was, by the end of the season, he was just straight up looking off of Amari Cooper and throwing the ball to anywhere. But
to Michael Crabtree, right. He's not there anymore.
Right. So so I think that's the big factor to watch, if Amari Cooper can achieve the confidence that the aforementioned scouts had in him when he was coming out as the alleged most polished receiver coming out of the draft.
Maybe the Raiders' biggest acquisition is David Carr.
That's right. I forgot about
who
that.
Now is allowed into
Bending
the building.
Bending Coach Gruden's ear.
Yeah, that might be it. That's what I'm going to go with, David Carr. He's a great acquisition to any room. If you add David Carr, everyone's better.
I like, more handsome, that's for sure. All right, let's bring it on home now with the fourth team from the AFC West, the Denver Broncos. Who do you like best there?
Also a underwhelming group.
I agree, and everybody thinks that, they're all fixed now with Case Keenum coming off of the magical year up in the Twin Cities, that he writes the ship for them. But to me, he's basically without the same level of arm that Trevor Siemian had a year ago.
I mean, he's the same guy. I would say it's got to be Bradley Chubb. So this is a guy that probably, in other years may have gone first in the draft, joins that crazy defense that can get after the quarterback already without his help. Just having him in there in that rotation, they're building something on defense, but their offense is still feels a little inadequate.
Yeah, I don't think that the defense should be mighty, but the problem is that they maybe aren't the most talented defense in the division anymore. It would appear that the Chargers have now supplanted them that. And of course, that they lose one of their big three corners there. That was one of the key parts of one of the great defenses we've seen in this century. But I'm with you. Bradley Chubb returns them at least theoretically to what really allowed them to thrive when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Was just, Von Miller with anybody else, it was DeMarcus Ware. That's a lot of pressure to put on the kid. But if you watched, again, as I say, if you actually watched college football the last couple of years, you would be impressed by a few players more than you would be by Bradley Chubb. He is going to be great. I think he is a can't-miss guy, and I think he takes off from day one, especially with offenses obviously worrying about Von Miller, one of the great pass rushers we've ever seen. So Bradley Chubb figures to thrive, so let's go with him. All right, good stuff, Handsome Hank. Good stuff, Matt Money Smith, and despite whatever happened there.
Well, we no one will know what happened because we've kept it a secret.
Oh, I forgot about that. Right. I'm good. I'm glad we cut that out. Handsome Hank, travel safe. Best to mom.
Can I bring you anything from England?
Yeah. You didn't bring anything last year, so now you got to bring two times as much.
Fine, I will.
You've always brought us back crisps, but you failed to do it. You know what I want? Some chocolate. You always say that
American chocolate tastes like
with chocolate compared to Euros.
Yep.
So bring us some nice chocolate.
Okay.
Talk to you next week. It's been a Thin Slice of Heaven.